Jesus is Lord. Lord of a lot of stuff, right? Lord of all, you guys. He's Lord of all. Amen, amen, amen. All right, well, if you get your Bibles, we're going to be looking at some things today. We're in healing school, and today's subject that I want to be talking about today is intimacy with God. That's what we're going to be talking about today. How many of you want to see more healings in your life? How many want to see more people healed when you pray for them? Amen. This is one of the keys to getting better results as we're praying for people. One revelation, as we've talked about a lot, is who we are in Christ. So how many are sons of God? Good. Even the ladies raised their hand today. Good. You guys are getting it. That's wonderful. That's right. And how many of you are the bride of Christ? All of us guys are raising our hands too. Amen. Amen. Yeah, that sounds good. Thank you. So, we are the sons of God. It's not a gender thing. In heaven, gender isn't an issue. There's no marriage. There's no babies being born. It's not like that. So, it's a position that we have as sons of God. So you have all the right and all the authority as a son of God. We can quit now. That's good enough to go home on. If that really sinks into us, if that really, really sinks into our hearts, that we are sons of God, then everything that He is endued in you and I, right? Is it endued or imbued? Whatever one it is. It's placed in us. So everything that He is, I am. I got to let that sink in a little bit. You guys got to let that sink in a little bit? Everything that God is, I am. Now, to the natural mind, that's foolishness, right? That's what it says in the Bible. It says to the natural mind, that's absolute, utter foolishness. Because the carnal mind cannot comprehend the things of God. It's foolishness to him. It's enmity. The carnal mind is at war against God. It cannot in any way, shape, or form hold on to, lock into, believe, and encompass the things of God. So we have to be out of our minds to be able to walk as sons of God. And we have to be in the mind of Christ. Yes or no? It is. But we have to really think about this in our day. We can't just go running around doing the things that the day requires and not hold who we are inside of us. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us in this world. And that you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. That nothing can separate us from your love. Absolutely nothing. And I ask that today you would unlock the minds and the hearts of the individuals that are hearing these words to truly embrace who we are in you because of you. That it can really firmly be grounded in our hearts, rooted deeply. So that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Amen. I don't know where to start because I got like 318 scriptures. Because there's just so much of it, you know. There's so much. So let me go backwards from my notes instead of going forwards. Can I do that? Sure, you don't know what I wrote down. You don't care, right? You have no idea what I wrote. So let's think about it this way. We're talking about intimacy with God, okay? That's what we're talking about. So who is God on the earth? Okay, there you go. Somebody got it. Holy Spirit is God with us on the earth right now, right? And Jesus at the right hand of the Father. They're in heaven, so our little local minds can understand, and the Holy Spirit's here with us. And we're filled with whom? The Holy Spirit, okay? And in the Holy Spirit is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Three in one are here. And the Bible says that they will come and dwell and make their home in us. Yes or no? Okay. So then in Ephesians 3, it says that we need to be rooted and grounded in what? That the fullness of God can be manifest in us. That we can be filled with all the fullness of God. We need to be rooted and grounded in something. Who said that? Love. We need to be rooted and grounded in love, that the fullness of God may be filled in us. Yes or no? Yes. Okay, good. Just laying a little foundation here. So, and God is what, according to 1 John? God is love. So in order to be filled with the fullness of God, we need to be rooted and grounded in love. Who is God? Yes? Intimacy with God. The Bible says in the Old Testament, when Jesus came up, he says, with their lips, they worship me, or they honor me, but their hearts are far from me. They're teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. What he says. So in other words, what we were doing is they were getting trapped in all the rules of the laws, all the things they needed to do, and then they added on top of those themselves hundreds of laws. And they were making everybody do those things, saying that's what makes you holy, that's what makes you clean, that's what makes you acceptable to God. But they didn't have a true heart relationship with him. It was about the things they were doing to be holy and acceptable to God. Are you with me? So it's not about that anymore. It's not about what you do. It's who you be. We're human beings, not human doings. So everything that we need from God has already been placed in us because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Yes? So then, is there anything we need that we don't already have? No. It's just a matter of, are you in the spirit or are you in the flesh? Are you looking at God carnally minded by your sensory perceptions and the way of this world and the spirit of this age? Or are you in the spirit and fellowshipping with God in the Spirit, right? A little bit hard. Where is that? That is in John, and it is in chapter, I think it's 6. Let me look real quick. Yes, it's John chapter 4. See, I was right. Oh, I'm glad you guys love me. It's John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. It says, is it up there? Because this TV's not on. Yep, all right, I'm just going to trust that it's going to be up there. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Yes? Romans chapter 8 says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. The fleshly mind cannot comprehend the things of God. Yes? So we have to be able to look at ourselves according to the spirit. Here's the rub. It's really difficult on our own to lay hands on somebody to pray for them to be healed, or for us to lay hands on our body for it to be healed, if I've lived naturally my whole life and been told about doctors and medicines and surgeries. And my whole life I've been raised with doctors and medicines and surgeries, and they've been my reality that I've lived in. That's all the grooming of the carnal mind, okay? And for us to be able to lay that aside and step over into spiritual understanding that it is not by anything of the flesh that heals us, it's by the Spirit in us that we get healed. Okay? That's a real journey for people. It's a real journey that we all have to face as we walk in this stuff. And we don't try to not believe God. We want to believe God. We say we believe God and we read the Bible. But we do have to understand that we have been groomed in this way of thinking naturally our whole lives. And this isn't even evil or negative or sinful. It's just what we've lived in our whole lives. So to be able to lay all of this down and walk over here in the Spirit where there's no lack, there's no need, there's no sorrow, and there's no pain. It takes renewing our minds. And it doesn't come by just quoting scriptures by themselves. It takes speaking scriptures and letting them really sink in, and the Holy Spirit giving revelation of those words, enlightening the inside of you and your spirit so that your soul can get understanding of that life, and then you can use it in this natural world. Okay? It has to be ignited on the inside of you as truth. The truth that overrules the truths of the flesh. A law that supersedes this natural law. Are you with me? We all have to face that. And so all of us, when we go up for prayer sometimes, if we are not energized by revelation, by hope, or by some demonstration that we've eyewitnessed, then we have this natural mindset coming to the equation with us. And what happens is we end up taking a back seat and wanting it to happen to us because we still have this carnal mindset. And then we need somebody more spiritual than ourselves that we're hoping have stepped out of their natural mind and into the mind of Christ and have a relationship with the Holy Spirit so that God's power will flow through them to heal me. But yet, I have the same Spirit dwelling in me that they do. Right? Yes or no? Okay. So we have to learn how to overcome what we've lived in our entire existence on the planet as normal life. Not sinful life, just normal life. Are you with me? It takes the work. The way we overcome that is through intimacy with God. It's the only way you can overcome that. It has to be through intimacy with God. That's in your private prayer time. That's in your reading the Bible time. That's in your shopping time. That's in your fellowshipping with other people time. We have to be acutely aware of the presence of God with us everywhere we go. That we are really in a symbiotic relationship with Him. Symbiotic means that each person profits from the relationship that they draw from the other person. Okay? I draw from him, he draws from me. We become one. Are you with me? Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Here's a fun one. John chapter 14, verse 6. Are you there? John chapter 14 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yes or no? Okay. So we need to know the way, the truth, and the life. What? Here's a little quiz for you. I'm going to give you the answer if you don't know, but I want to give you a quiz just to see. In Acts, and Bruce, don't shout it out if you know. Let everybody else. In Acts, what did they call what we now call Christianity? Say that again. Yes, several of you got that. The way. See, Jesus says, I am the way. And so that's what they called following Jesus in his day. The way. Let's look at a couple of verses just so you can see it. Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, verse 2, it says, and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that they found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Who do you think the hymn was? I stepped in the middle of a paragraph there. Paul. Saul. It was Saul. Yes, you're right. It was Saul. He wasn't Paul yet. So he was getting a letter so that he could prosecute anybody who was of the way. It also talks in Acts 19:9, 23, and 24:19. All of those verses call it the way. And Jesus says, I am the way. So when he said, I'm the way, what do you think he meant when he said that? That we just need to believe on him only? That his crucifixion and sacrifice, that was the way? What do you think he called the way? Shout it out. You can't be wrong. Well, you might be, but I doubt it. What? Follow me. That's exactly right. Follow me. I am the way. So whatever he did, what he said, that's what we need to do. Yes or no? So whatever Jesus said or did, that's what we need to follow. Yes or no? So John 6:63. John 6, verse 63. It says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are what? Spirit. And they are life. So Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to put words in his mouth and say, everlasting life. Okay? So Jesus is everlasting life. And his words our life itself. John 17:17. You guys got that in your Bible? She have it? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Who is saying that? Who's that about? God the Father. Jesus is saying it. So God the Father is the truth. Yes? And the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And in John chapter 1, Jesus said, or rather, he didn't say it. John said it about him. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 17, 1:17. John 1:17. It says, and the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Yes? Yes. Eternal life. John 17:3. In John 17, verse 3, it says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So the Father and Jesus are everlasting life. And this everlasting life is endued within you. It dwells and resides and abides in you, this everlasting life, because it is whom? God. So everlasting life is God. And knowing Him, being fellowship with Him, is what creates that everlasting life inside of you and me. Yes? So when we are going to be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, how is that going to take place? By His Spirit in us. Everlasting life is going to swallow up mortality. Yes? Mm-hmm. So, that's all happening right now. It's all happening right now as we fellowship with Him. He is everlasting life. He is the way. He is truth. Yes? So, when people get healed, what is it that actually takes place in their bodies, do you think? When you lay hands on somebody, what is it that's happening? See, sometimes we just think, oh, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Go ahead, what did you say? Jesus is doing it through us, but what else is happening? Life is being imparted into them or released from them. It's going one of two ways. It's either going out of you into them, or it's waking it up inside of them to overcome whatever the illness or the sickness is in them. Yes or no? Yes. So it is life that's healing them. It's life that's transforming our bodies. You got to let this sink in. You are the Son of God. You're not the one and only Son of God. You are a Son of God, because the one and only made the way for us also as sons of God. We need to really let that sink in. That shame and condemnation and the things of this world and this just natural way of thinking has got to be eroded away, that we really see that we're a new creation in Christ, that we really are an entirely different kind of a person, that the Spirit of God in me is healing my body and other people. Yes? Yes. Yes. This is exciting. Okay, so how do we do this? How do we have more intimacy with God? Say that again. Renewing our minds is one way. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be kind of a byproduct, though. It is. It is. So let me just use you and Johnny, Brenda. This is Brenda and Johnny Assad, in case you don't know. For everybody in the whole wide world, that's the back of their heads. So, how do you get to know Johnny better? By relationship. Spending time together. How else? In that time that you're spending together, what transpires? Closeness, what'd you say? Conversations. Anything else? Yeah, you ask questions about the person. You actually are curious about them and you want to know about them. And then you get to spend time with them and see how they behave and how they react. That gives you a little insight to them, right? And then as you're spending time with them, you see how they behave. You start seeing where their attention's at. You start seeing how they're manifesting. And you get to ask them questions. And then they'll tell you things about themselves. And then they do the same with you. They spend time with you, ask you questions, have conversations with you, watch you and how you behave and how you react to things. Yes? And then we get to know the person. And then after we've spent enough time with them and had enough conversations with them and seen enough evidence of how they live their life, then if somebody says they did something different than the character that you have exhibited in a true relationship with them, you can say, that's not my Johnny. My Johnny would never do that. And you know what? They can't bamboozle you because you spent more time with them. You know that person. Yes? That's what we need to do with God. I'm really serious about this. Spending time with God, talking to Him, asking Him questions, and having Him answer you. Watching Him work around you and seeing what He's doing in the world around you, and then join Him in what He's doing. Right? How many wives had had to give up what they wanted to do to go do their with their husband to do something he wanted to do? Did they want to do it? No, but because they love their husband, they went and did it. And role reverse, how many husbands end up watching that dang movie because that's the one their wife wanted to watch and we had no interest whatsoever in it? But because we love her, we watch it. Or we go do whatever it is she wants to do. Yes or no? Yes. So it's the same way with God. We lay down our lives and find out what He wants to do in the world around us. And we give Him our attention and our priorities. And as we give Him our attention, we start seeing how He's working. But as we read, we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He said that their lips, out of their mouths, they speak the right things. Right? They say the words that are supposed to be spoken, but their heart's not really in it, right? When we read the word, when we go to our prayer time, when we pray in tongues, when we are giving God His time, our hearts have to really be in it. You have to be really looking for revelation, really looking for answers, really looking for direction on how to proceed in those things. And if we will do that moment by moment, we'll see more of the power of God manifesting. Because this is what will happen. We will expect to see more of God because we are more aware of God, because He has more of our attention and it enlightens our hearts and minds. I just thought of a verse, but I don't really remember where it's at. I'm going to, let me just keep talking as I look for it real quick. Understanding. So, you know how it says that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened in Ephesians so that we would be able to understand the things of God, so that we would be able to see these things and understand these things? Well, in another place it says, and I normally have this picked out. Oh boy, I wish I just could just show it to you because it really makes a big difference. But it says that He has given us an understanding that we may know Him, right? So He has put it inside of, that word understanding is dianoia. That's that deep knowing, that deep, deep knowing, that below all the surface of everything else that we think about, that deep, deep idea of who we are, that's where God is. And that's where He teaches us. And that's where we fellowship with Him. In the deep, deep parts of who we are that other people can't see. Yes? John 5:20. Thank you, Bruce. I thought it was 1 John, but I didn't want to shout that out just in case I was totally wrong. Thank you, Bruce. Yes, that's it. Thank you, Bruce. Here, I'm going to read it to you. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. It pretty much does, don't it? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Bruce. So this dianoia, this deep thought, our imaginations, the eyes of our hearts or of our minds, that's the deep place that we fellowship with God. And as we're there, that's when he starts teaching us. And we really need the Holy Spirit to teach us instead of just only having a verse and standing on a verse only. Now, I agree, stand on the verse. Oh, absolutely, get your verses, what you're believing God for, and stand on them. Absolutely do that. But don't only do that. I can give you a paragraph to quote every day of your life, but it'll mean absolutely nothing if you don't have context on why you're quoting that paragraph, right? It's got to have some relationship to you. So when we really do know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, absolutely nothing can, that he's absolutely for us all the time, 100%, that our anointing comes from him always. When we get that, and that he has anointed us, it's a past tense thing, and that the Spirit of God does dwell in us, that we are sons of God, and that he withholds nothing from us, we have to really lock that down on the inside. Yes or no? And then we need to operate in whatever our giftings are that he's given us. Who has not gotten a spiritual gift from the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand. Okay, so everybody has their hands down in this room. So what is, don't say it out loud, just think about it. What is the gift that he's given you? Is it faith for great things? Faith that is beyond what other people can believe for? You have the ability to believe such huge things and trust God for them that other people can't relate to that. It's too much. Are you that person? Or are you the person who has gifts of healings and God uses you to heal people in certain areas? If that's the case, use that gift. Whatever it is, go down that road until it gets bigger. If it's prophecy, then prophesy. If it's knowledge, then speak that knowledge that he shows you. If it's wisdom, speak that wisdom that he shares with you. And it says that these are all, we share these for the edifying and the building up of the body of Christ. Yes or no? So we need to share this stuff with one another. We need to renew our minds and help each other be built up in the Spirit. Yes? And that building up isn't really so much adding something to us. It is, but not really. It's more of waking up the truth that's already inside by the Spirit of God, that it can be unveiled through us. I believe it's more of an unveiling than it is an imparting. I believe it's the Spirit of God, excuse me, I believe it's the Spirit of God who is in us releasing those things. And as we are found faithful, he will give us more to be entrusted with, yes? So for you personally, what is it that God is using you to do? What's your part in the body of Christ? And to really start focusing in on that and getting results in that area. Everybody's been given something, at least one something. I believe you've been given more than that. And the more that you just loosen up and enjoy yourself with God, I mean, really enjoy yourself with God. So let me give you a couple of examples out of the Bible that I'm talking about, where you really enjoy yourself with God, okay? Because some people just need this. So go with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. What did we read in John 6:63? Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are what? Life." So look at this in verse 16 of Colossians chapter 3. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and admonishing one another in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Look at this part. "Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So he's this word grace, it's translated, of course it's grace, but it's like sweetness. It's like gratitude. It's you just singing with this love of God in your heart. This just letting it out and just enjoying him in singing these songs and hymns and spiritual songs to one another. Look at this in Ephesians. It says it a different way. Ephesians chapter 5, 18, 19, and 20. 21 even. It says, "And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." So he's saying to be filled with the Spirit is to be singing these songs, these poems, the songs that you make up, spiritual songs that you make up, with joy, with a melody in your heart, with grace in your heart, to the Lord. Yes? Enjoying God's presence with a song in your heart. Enjoying the people around you. Really enjoying the people. It's love that heals. It's love that transforms lives. And it's God who does it, and God is love. So really, honestly, getting out from underneath the way that this world sees you and the way you've been raised in this normal, everyday life, and to get into the Word of God and to say the things that Jesus said and to have the perspective that he had, who is the way, the truth, and the life, that as we do these things and we have joy in our hearts and being thankful in our hearts with rejoicing always, really enjoying God's presence, what happens is that life starts flowing inside of us more and more and starts giving us the revelation of the truth of the Spirit, and it eventually starts overcoming the indoctrination of the world. Slowly but surely, it just does. And that's where miracles happen. That's where with 1 second laying hands on people, you see a result. That's where it really takes place, because it is the truth that you are God's son. It is the truth that his Spirit is in you. It is the truth that he withholds no good thing from you. It is the truth that you have power over the enemy. That's just the truth. It is. And so like it says in Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about the weapons of our warfare, there's 6 weapons that we have that are able to make us stand against the spirit of this world, against principalities and powers, against the evil hosts of wickedness and the rulers of this world, all the invisible forces that are standing against us. Not the physical flesh and blood people, the invisible things that have been imposed into our psyche that are actually alive and wanting this world to go an entirely different way than the Holy Spirit wants. And we have been given these six weapons as armor to be able to stand against that when we're believing God in who we are. And that salvation, we have been saved. We have salvation. That's truth. We have the truth. We speak the truth. Yes? It's faith as a shield in front of us. We have faith. We own that. We are righteous. We have the righteousness of God. We're righteous. We have peace. We always are able to go wherever we go to tell people that we've been restored back to God, that we have peace with God. Jesus took down the wall of division and we have peace with God. So now we can tell people, God is not angry. He has reconciled you to himself. You be reconciled back to God. Come back to him. And that's the peace, to be joined to him again. We have these. And the word of God, we have these. Those are our weapons that we have. And they're not to attack anyone. They're to be able to stand in who I am. When I know that I've been joined to God and that nobody can tear that apart, that I'm one spirit with him, like it says in 1 Corinthians 6:17 and in Ephesians 6, it gives me strength. When I know I'm the righteousness of God, it gives me strength. When I know I'm absolutely saved and I will forever be in the presence of God, it gives me strength. When I know the words that Jesus spoke, it gives me strength to be able to repeat those words and speak those words. Really, it empowers me to stand against everything else because I own that. You have to own it too. And as you own it, you become immovable when a bad report comes, when something negative is going on around you. You may go, that may affect them, but that has nothing to do with us. Like Jesus said, he said, it's blind guides leading the blind. Leave them alone. They're going to fall into a ditch. Did he say that or did he not? He did. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Yes or no? You follow me. That's the truth. We need to get that so ingrounded and rooted and grounded in us, the love of God, so that we can really stand in who we are in Christ. That when a sickness is on a person, we will see it has no right to be on them. None. Jesus died for that. And we are standing in who we are in Christ. And that thing must obey us when we speak. But it takes us being built up on the inside. It takes us really owning what we read in the Bible. It takes us really to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to really indoctrinate our minds with the truth of who God is. And as we spend time with him, he starts reflecting that. Remember we read in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that this from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord, it's spending time with him is what changes us and transforms us. Yes? Yes. And so I encourage you that through these holiday weeks, practice loving people. Practice, what is your spiritual gift? Look for an opportunity. Say, Holy Spirit, give me an opportunity to speak to somebody I would ordinarily never speak to. And tell me what you want me to tell them. I'll tell them. Whatever you want me to tell them, I'll tell them. If you want me to heal them, I'll heal them. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Give me the braveness. Is that a word, braveness? Confidence, boldness, whatever you want to say. Courage. Braveness. I like that word. Give me the braveness to go do something that I would normally not do because I'm following you. I'm letting you teach me and show me more than I'm used to right now. And as you do that, you'll be really blown away at one, that you're actually doing it. you're a little nervous about it, but you're doing it. And two, they're responding. And the more we do that and practice that, the more we'll see that people really do want to be set free. People really do want to know that they're loved and accepted. They really, really do. And they really do hope that the words that you're speaking to them are true, because they want to believe that somebody really does care for them. But as we get bolder and we really spend time with intimacy with God, He can't help but be Himself through us. He can't help it. But it takes us coming to Him. It takes us laying down our life and our agendas to spend time with Him. It takes us redirecting our attention to include Him in whatever we're doing, instead of just going about the routine of this world. It's like playing in the ocean that has a huge undertow. On the surface, it looks fine, but the world has an undertow. And the more we give it our attention, the more it's going to suck us out to sea. Yes or no? And then we're scrambling to get back in again. So the more we spend time with the Holy Spirit, the more we have tanks, respirators, masks, fins, wetsuit on, and we're ready to operate in that environment. We're equipped to do it, right? Then the undertow don't mean anything, because we can maneuver around it just fine. And that's the way it is in the things of the world. When we really have our armor on, when we really are settled in our salvation, that we are righteous, that we do live the truth, know the truth, and speak the truth, and that we really know that we are joined to God, and that everybody else needs to know that they're made one again with God. When we really know that faith is going to actually, believing God is going to actually stop the artillery of the evil one being thrown at us and trying to trip us up. When we really trust God for our lives. And when we speak the same things that God speaks out of our mouth, we get His results. Yes? It's spending time with Him in the knowledge of who He's made us to be. And in that, we share that with other people. Exciting stuff. Exciting stuff. I know I always give you guys a lot. I really don't mean to overwhelm you, but I really would like very much that all of us are the most Jesus people of anyone our friends will meet. I would really like it if we're the ones that when they meet us, they know they met the Lord. Because we smell like Him, we speak like Him, we treat them like Him, and we do the things He does. I would really love that if that could be said about us. Because when we do that, as we do that, and continue to do that, it will transform the world around us. It really will. But it takes us losing our life. It takes us laying down our agenda. It takes us refocusing our attention and worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Having our hearts really aligned with His heart. Taking our eyes off of our own circumstance, putting it on Him. And as we worry about His kingdom, He'll take care of ours. Amen? I love you guys. Father, I just thank You for Your word. I thank You for who You are, Lord. I thank You that You've written these things down, Father, that we can refer to them, memorize them, learn from them, and be transformed by the words on these pages. I thank You for Holy Spirit. You're with us always. You teach us. You comfort us. You show us the ways of God. And Father, above all, I thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, that He came and modeled who You are to all of us, Lord, and that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we come to You through Him and by His name. And so, Father, we honor you as your sons. We honor you as our God. We honor you as life itself. And we thank you, Father, from the depths of our beings for the love that you have loved us with. In the name of Jesus, Lord.